I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. What shall we then give to him? We give thanks unto the Lord our God and sing praise at the remembrance of his holy name. Praise the Lord, New Covenant Church. Father, we praise you as your angels hymn you. I'm told that there are 24 leaders, distinguished, honorable, eternal figures, that they could barely sit still. They cast their crown down at the mention of the Lamb, and they worship you. Father, in these few minutes, we worship you, and you are deserving, because our very presence here is because of you. You are building something, Lord, in us. And on the day when you will appear, Father, and the consummation of our hope will be present, how our hearts will rejoice. Meanwhile, give to us the grace, like David, to really be in love with you, Lord. I pray we'll be able to cast aside every weight, every obstruction that often beset us, and just enjoy you. Let our hearts delight at the presentation of your word, because the entrance of your word gives light and also gives understanding to those who are simple in their heart. Bless us with your word more than anything on the newscast today, more than anything going on in the world. Bless us, Lord. Let our hearts rejoice. Let your word be the rejoicing of our hearts. Let it move aside every supposition. Let it pierce. Let it test our thoughts. Let it mold our intentions. Let it remove our unrighteousness, Father. Let Christ, the throne of Jesus, be built in that special place in our hearts that you mean it to be. We are people. All we have to offer to you are odious sins. There's really nothing beautiful in us that you have not forgiven. The things for which men praise us, they come from you. Even the things for which you praise us, they are from you. All we offer in this relationship was death and sin. There's nothing that we can boast in. Remove it, the work you have started, Lord. Please do not abandon it midway. Help us to be people of faith, of righteousness, people of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this service. Speak to the children, to the older, to all of us. Speak to me and through me, Lord. Give us a humble heart, a contrite spirit, to receive with meekness your engrafted word, the only thing that can save our souls. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. What was the topic of the sermon last week? New life, new lifestyle. I like this so much. When the last time Brother Oshet was here, what was the title of the sermon? Something about, see, I'll give you a clue. Kaka, charisma, character. Yes. It's distinguished between charisma and character. Well, Sunday, you look serious. Yeah? They are serious words. The problems that Brother Sunday deals with today, the problems of nations, they'll make a man look serious. May the Lord give you grace. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But we're going to hear the words of our Lord Jesus. So what have I been preaching about in the last few months? What? Jesus, the head. We've been emphasizing that. That Jesus is the head of his church. And how we ought to magnify the Lord Jesus. And we're doing that because unless he's lifted up, men will not be drawn. We cannot build a church on the reputation of men or on our own good intentions. In fact, God has designed that his church will be built on the prominence of Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. And we noted that these days is almost about everything but Jesus. Miracles, projects, this. What I love to hear more about is Jesus, our Savior, the gospel. He started this all. The whole thing is named after him. Aside from his cross, there's no hope for the whole of mankind. And we're called to worship Jesus. The Bible says, let all the angels of the Lord worship him. So I pray that our Christianity will not be absent of the worship and the honor of Jesus. We've been called to serve a man. And a few weeks ago, we started about faith. And we observed a few things about faith. That the true character of faith is that it pleases God. We are in the generation of faith. Some people say we're in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Of course, we know that every dispensation is a dispensation of Jesus Christ. Because the Holy Spirit himself does not speak about himself. The job of the Holy Spirit is to magnify Jesus. And a lot of us had read a lot of books on faith. So I think I started by saying we're not really interested. I'm sure most of you are not interested in the theories of faith. We're interested in the character of faith. What does true faith look like? And we started out by saying there's one thing that you will notice about every man in history and in scripture that walked in faith. Some of them performed miracles. Did all of them perform miracles? No. Although some by faith performed miracles. Some of them raised the dead. Some of them received the healing, their healing. All? No. Some. But there's something that is common with everybody, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And we want to test our own faith by that thing. Everyone that has faith pleases God. You can literally mention anybody who walked in faith, and you notice one thing that is common from Genesis to Revelation, post-Revelation, to missionaries and founders, is that everybody that has faith pleases God. There are manifestations of faith in which there's no pleasure of God in it. Judas performed miracles as well. He was sent out with the 12. So if we're looking to how to test ourselves whether we're in faith in our generation, there are so many criteria that Satan will give to us. Are you active in church? How many souls have you preached to? How many people have you healed? How long do you spend in prayer? All of those are good, but they are subset. The real test of whether the faith you have as you sit here today is the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ is that you will know that you please the Lord. So I ask you, is your expression of faith one that is pleasing to the Lord? And we began to examine that. There's a manifestation of faith. And I gave an example and a story of Sabrina and Richard Wainbrandt the last time we met. Because I want to give both Bible examples and, what do you call examples outside the post-Bible? And modern day examples of faith. So that we'll have concrete evidence about how, what it really means from scriptures to walk with God. We told the story of the man who started the Voice of the Martyrs, an organization that's now all over the world, helping persecuted Christians. We told the story of how his country, Romania, was invaded. And his wife, Sabrina, she wrote a book, The Pastor's Wife. He wrote the book, Tortured for Christ. I was asking if anyone here had read Tortured for Christ then. There's a story in In that very interesting story, these people were Jews converted to Jesus. When the communists took over their land, the communists gathered all the church leaders, the religious leaders, the Muslims, the Greek Orthodox, to the parliament building in the capital of Romania then. And by this time, it was like a military takeover. They had all heard what happened in Russia when the communists took over, where they squashed religion. They were all afraid. And the communists required of all the church leaders, I think about 4,000 of them, I can't remember the number, that they must agree that the Marxist communist principle was now the guiding principle in Romania, denouncing religion, denouncing God. They said, if you, as long as you agree to operate under us, we will let you to continue to do church. We will pay you your stipend. Things will continue as usual, but you must declare your loyalty to the communist godless party. Brothers and sisters, don't think that these things... And remember, the topic is, I want you to know the true character of faith. The true character of faith. Because faith now could be just a word. Faith now could be just a declaration of the tongue. But faith is stronger than just something you say. Faith is alive. Actually, I really prefer not to use the word faith anymore. I prefer to use the word faithfulness, because faith requires faithfulness. In fact, there's a 1 Corinthians 4 passage in which Paul said, it is required of a steward that they should be faithful. So in order that we do not have an expression of faith without a character of faithfulness, we want to examine the way saints who had faith lived. One by one, the church leaders stood up, and they began to declare loyalty to the new power that just took over after the First World War, that just took over Romania, out of fear, because they were afraid for their reputation, for their congregation, for their structures, for their religion. One by one, the same thing took place in Germany about the same time when the Nazis took over. I don't think this is far. We're getting to a point where there might be a nationalist revolution here in the U.S. where you will be required to take a stand that may be against the state. And Pastor Rembrandt and Sabrina, listen to this. They were representing, I think, the World Mission Conference. And after a while, the wife tapped the husband and said, "Will you not rub this shame from the face of Christ?" Imagine. And this was broadcast live all over Romania. Brothers and sisters, my declaration this morning is the character of true faith is that it takes courage. There's no such thing as faith in Christ without courage. We are called to be soldiers for Jesus, not just head believers. We read a passage today in Matthew in which Christ said, if you love your life, your father and your mother more than me, then you, this is not me talking. This was Jesus saying, that expression of faith is not worthy of me. The spirit of grace, the Bible says we have not been given the spirit of bondage by which we are to fear, but the spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. And you, we know instances in your life that require courage as we speak this morning. So the wife tapped the husband and said, will you not wipe this shame from the face of Christ? What would happen is that they had cards. It was broadcast live. And if you had something to say, you will write the card and send it to the coordinators, the communist coordinators. And they would call you forward. And one by one, Greek Orthodox leaders, Buddhist leaders, Jewish leaders, all kinds of religion, and Christian leaders sent cards forward declaring their loyalty to the state. All they knew that the communists were anti-religious. They knew what they did in Soviet Union. And when this wife turned to her husband and said, "Will you now wipe this shame for the face of Christ?" He turned to his wife and said, "You know what you ask? If I do this, you will not have a husband anymore." And she said to him, "I would rather not have a husband than have a coward for a husband." God is calling for courageous Christians. Too many times, the call of our age in Christianity is the call to just come to service. There's no call to make choices. And real Christianity calls us to make choices. Real Christianity is painful. Real Christianity has a cost and a cross. And I pray that as we encourage one another, it took the collective courage, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. There's a reason why Jesus sent them forth, not one by one, but two by two. The Bible doesn't say it, but who can guess why? Look, I've experienced it. There was a time in this church that every month we went out for evangelism, right? We had an evangelism week. Tell me, there are times when there were just two of us, one of us, and we had grants, and then we split ourselves. We quickly realized that when there were two of us, we had a lot more courage than when it was just one of us. And Christ knew it. He sent them forth. And still they were not ready to take nations. In the book of Acts, as he was telling them at Pentecost to expect the Spirit, he said, "You will receive what? Courage, power, when the Holy Spirit." He could not send them. That courage is a hallmark. The man stood up, sent a card forward. They were broadcasting it live because they knew that majority of Christians and religious leaders are wimps. They knew we would deny our Lord for 20 silver and a gold, or whatever, what is, and a shirt. 30 shekels and a, 10 shekels and a, anyway, it was cheap. Or for 30 pieces of silver. They knew it. They knew when the servant girl came to us at the gate, we would deny him three times before the cock crows once, or once before the cock crows three times. They knew. Christ knew that too. But I thank God because he said, "I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail." The test of your faith is courage when there's something to do. He went forward and he said to them, I think I read it last week. I don't want to read it, I'll just summarize it because I like us to read scriptures a bit and take another example. I want to do this because it's easy to preach from the book of Hebrews and tell you what Father Abraham did. But I want us to relate to this, to what God is asking you in your family, at your jobs. Because if we don't discuss this now, you will be asked this on the day of judgment. God will ask you. We read here in Matthew 24, it said, everything that is hidden, it's now time to shout it at the housetop. As you sit here, God is prodding your heart to be a soldier and a champion for him, not to live a selfish Christian life. The woman gave up her husband. The husband went forward. And he said to the entire congregation, I summarize, something to the effect that Christ alone we must worship. That it's shameful that religious leaders bow to government. I remember the example of Peter and doesn't Paul, Peter and who? John. That is Sanhedrin. It's like being called to a select subcommittee of the Senate. Maybe it's more. These are the religious leaders of your time. A hearing. And what did they say to this Sanhedrin? Said, who then shall we listen to? Is it you or God? Do you have instances when you have refused to compromise? Ultimately, the test of your faith on the day when Jesus asks is what courage What courage for the sake of Jesus. Say, he that denies me before men, I also will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. The word of God has not changed. Just that some key points of it are no longer being emphasized. He that will keep his life will lose it. He that loses his life. Well, for his troubles, he went to jail for 14 years. His wife went to jail for about 3-4 years. They threw their child out of 3 universities. He could no longer get an education under that regime. Right? He was in solitary confinement for 3 good years underground. But God preserved him. And because of him, many, many persecuted Christians. Brother Sunday, remember when these people attacked Joss? Brother Sunday, you suffered a great tragedy once. When these folks attacked Joss, the Muslim extremists, they invaded Brother Sunday's brother's home, killed a relative. I wanted her to come from you. So we felt it personally. I remember I wrote to your dad. Your parents lived in jail. I said, has the Lord preserved you from the lion? Number one, why are you still in jail? Was what I said, actually. Her dad was I think, publicity secretary for the pioneering mission organization in Nigeria. Then, I think your dad was freshly out of Capra, I don't know. And he began to say to me the areas of Joss impacted. And I said, but are the Christian churches in Nigeria responding to this? And he chuckled. But I said, I remember he and a lot of other missionary friends that had said to me that thank God for the voices of the martyrs. They responded. Because of one man's courage, a lot of people after the fact have received a lot of succor. Now, I don't want to keep us for too long today. But I think there's a need for us to ask the Lord for faithfulness to Jesus. Hebrews 9:27 it is, I think, that says it's been given to man once to what? And after that is what? We're not created in this world. We're created for eternity. Our Lord Jesus was not made for this world. He cast aspersions on the things of the flesh. I went to prepare a better place for us. This is faith. There's a passage that Paul wrote, I forget. He said, by faith, is it? In Hebrews 11 it is. That we believe that the things that are made came from the things that are not. That the visible things come from the invisible things. One day, the sky will part. The quality of our shoes will not be the matter on hand. The jobs, our acquisition on planet Earth, the children we have, the husband we married. All of these things. The Bible says that on that day, that kings and princes will see the appearing of he who is in the cloud and they will hide under the rock. The day is coming. And the only thing that will stand on that day will be faith. The faithful in the Lord will be gathered to him. The Lazaruses will become the prince and the kings. The Lord will turn every logic upside down. Those that have been cursed, they will see that they are blessed. No wonder I said, blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted. There's a day of, and that's why you and I are seated. We're not seated there because of our jobs. God does not love my auntie here anymore because she's probably richer. Maybe you're richer than me. Right? That's just situations that God put us while on earth. There will be beggars of us, rich of us, but all of us must be faithful to Jesus. Faith. I feel compelled to talk about faith. Because there's all kinds of faith. There's name it, claim it. There's faith about possession. There's faith about healing. There's so much focus on faith. and things and very little unfaithfulness to our Savior Jesus Christ. So I want us to meditate on true faith. Let's go to the Matthew that we just read. I'll make a few comments. We'll continue on this topic for a bit. You are already very familiar, I assume, with Hebrews chapter 11. That chapter in of itself is a month worth of study, because I would really love us. I was saying on Friday that I love, and I challenge all of you here to study David. Just abandon whatever books you are reading right now. Go and read the Psalms. I beg you. See what a life of faith looks like. A life of faith is not determined. Faith is not triggered when you are in trouble alone. Faith is in operation even when you are happy. Look at David. Faith was not a thing to him. Faith was his life. When he was sick, it was God. When he was well, it was God. When he lacked, it was God. When he did not lack, it was God. When he was happy, it was a praise to the Lord. Everything about this man was God. That is faith, brothers and sisters. On the road, God. In the house, God. When his own son was betraying him, he was crying to the Lord. When they were shaming him and pushing him out of his kingdom. Who? Guess what? And one of his friends, one of his soldiers wanted to pierce his enemy through the heart. He said, no, if it's, you think it's this man that is saying this to me? If God had not allowed this man, you think he said this to me? So let him say it. It is my God. And I was, well, what kind of man is this? Everything about him is God. No wonder I was a friend to the Lord. That is faith, brothers. Faith is not conditional. In life, faith. In death, faith. Nothing could separate David from the love of the Lord who loved him. And in church, we need to talk more about faithfulness, courage as a character of faith. You need to test your heart. There's a Corinthian passage, chapter 13, right? Says, test yourself whether you are still in faith. Because there's another version of faith going on. And I'm so afraid that majority of us have gotten caught in the idea of faith without faithfulness. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 10 that we read this morning. Whoever confesses me before men, I will confess those before my Father who is in heaven. I'm reading from verse 32 down. Whoever denies me before men, I want you to know the definitive proposition here. I will. There's no contest. It's not say I may. So as we sit down here, the one who says what he means and means what he says says, hey, this is what is going to happen on judgment day. If you deny me before men, if there are situations where you cannot confess me in your life, I am not going to confess you on my own day when my daddy will be seated there. I will deny you. May the Lord not deny us in Jesus' name. Amen. The answer to that prayer is now. It's faithfulness. The Lord is not just asking us to agree that he is the Son of God. He's asking us to worship and serve him as the Son of God. He's asking us, choose now what side you will be on. In fact, in the book of Revelations, he said, I observed something and it's really, I don't like it. It's like you're not really hot and you're not really cold. Yeah, kind of lukewarm. I said, I would have preferred if you were hot and I would have preferred if you were cold. But this lukewarm thing, I can't deal with it. Was it Joshua that stood up and said, choose now whether you will be a Christian or not? Said, do not think that I come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace. have come to bring a what? Who? Did anybody ever meditate on what Jesus meant by this? Anybody? Brother Usman.
I meditate on it all the time. In fact, tomorrow I'll be speaking with my father at dinner, you know, to talk about Christ. And, you know, I don't know which way it'll go, but, you know, I've been praying on it, and I know the church has been praying on it with me. I'm thankful to everybody for praying on it with me, you know, give me that conviction and the faithfulness to persevere in this battle, Father versus Son. And I know my Father will win. Holy Father.
Praise the Lord. This is the words of Jesus. And we don't find a lot of people speaking for Jesus these days. And I'm sorry, those of us who tend to speak in stark terms what Jesus says, we get into a lot of trouble. They call us fundamentalists. You know? They say we're fundamentalists. If you get to know us, really, they call Jesus fundamentalist as well. But if you get to know us, you know, really, it's not a fight. It's just what Jesus said. And he always says it's to stimulate us. Can you imagine someone standing up and saying, I've not come to bring peace on earth? You say, no, but the scripture says peace on earth and of peace unto men. What is it? Goodwill unto men. We like to quote one scripture and forget the other one. You did not answer my question, by the way. I said, what does this passage mean? Why is Jesus saying, and I'm glad it's not Paul saying it, because we've come to a generation that says that Paul did not really know what he's talking about, because we disagree with some of the things he said. We are somehow a lot more wiser than Paul now. What did Jesus mean by, I've come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law? That sounds so unchristian. Volunteers. It's not hypothetical. I really want someone to, by necessity. You people don't know we are fighting demons. We are fighting the most crafty force. We are fighting the man who actually, sorry, he's not a man. The spirit, what's Satan? The Satan who actually had the gumption, who thought he could deceive the Son of Man himself? Can you imagine someone thinking they could deceive God? We are fighting the person who caused all the trouble. Went to Eve and said, did the Lord really say? And Eve was prepared. She had spent enough time with the Lord to know that the Lord did not really say, do not eat. That's how Satan operates. So when this Satan saw that Eve knew the scriptures, Satan used the scriptures that Eve knew to deceive us. Say, okay, I guess you know what the Bible says. Let me take it one notch. Did you really know what he meant? God did not really mean what he said. This is what he really meant. That was what got Eve. Satan reinterpreted the obvious commandment of God. And Eve took that. And see all the trouble we're in. And now there's headache, stomachache, backache. We are not created to age and die this way. There weren't supposed to be thorns and thistles. Snakes were supposed to talk. The dove and the lion were supposed to get along. I challenge us that many of our Christianity shy away from controversy. It's peace at all costs. But Jesus said, when you speak truth, are you ready for the blowback? If you are silent, you are not doing the work of Jesus. Are you ready for the cross? Are we ready to follow Jesus? People and our children are not attracted to the kind of faith you preach to them because they see the powerlessness of it. That's why, you remember when there was an uptick in ISIS? Many Christian kids in England saw a cause that they could rally around. And were wondering, why would Western people go? Because they saw the courage. They want to live for something bigger than just cars and luxury. Jesus brought such a cause. Faithfulness, Christians. God will ask us for, he will ask you how you spent your life. He will ask the choices that you made while you were on earth. A man's enemies will be those of his own household. So if you think because you have become a Christian, everybody will like you. Many of us, people don't dislike us because we are Christians. But who you are will challenge people. Then he went on to say, and Sabrina, he who loves father, mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves sons and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He that loses his life for my sake will find it. I want to speak on this as we close today. On two grounds, we exalt the love of Jesus. I'm really concerned, and we should be, that people have used scriptures like this to also abandon their responsibilities at home. And I don't think this is what Jesus was talking about here. In fact, if you notice in the history of Christianity, real saints are also great husbands, great wives, and obedient children at home. There's a time in clerginess that there's actually till today, there's a great crisis in Christian clergy marriages. Because men and women take pretext of ministry to abandon their responsibilities. It's the same. Some of us sacrifice our families for our careers. There's no relationship bigger than the family relationship. The expression, in my opinion, of a true Christian man is your gentleness, your grace, your faithfulness. It's not good for a Christian man to be a terror in the home. It's not good for a Christian woman to be rude in the home, to be cantankerous. Is that the word? Cantankerous. Cantankerous. No, we add that to dictionary. Thank you. Okay, idea is needed. Faithfulness. The true measure of Christianity is really who are you as a person? Are you faithful? Do you have integrity? It's not the number of scriptures you quote or how scary you look or how many days you spend on the mountain. You can spend 1,000,000 days on the mountaintop. You can pray till you are blue in the face. If you have no kindness, no humility, no grace about you, there's no faithfulness to you. Because our Jesus, who prayed all the time, was also a gentle soul. That's why it's very dangerous to just read scriptures and not look to Jesus. Because what you read in scriptures that Jesus says, you also see it in his life. If your children are afraid of you, the congregation cannot talk to you. You have fire coming out of your eyes. That's not Jesus, and that's not faith. That's why, as Christians, if you want to embrace the Lord, please embrace his character and embrace faithfulness. The Bible says you can pray all you want. If you don't have forgiveness in your heart, your prayer will not surpass the roof. Faith is by nature selfless. And this is what this scripture is. Jesus is saying, if you love yourself, if you love your father, if you love your mother more than me, then you are not worthy. Because he that said it gave his life that we may be saved. Please, I need you to please move on from mere confession. Let's move on to make sure that our characters align with our profession of faith. Let's make sure that our characters align with Abraham. What happened to Abraham? His son. His only begotten son. When was he called faithful? At some point when the issue was between him, his God, and the life of his own child, who did he pick? God. That's faithfulness. Now I know. So he was called the father of faith. The Lord will test you with your family. Now, I think I've clarified it. Don't use ministry as an excuse to be insensitive to your wives and to your husbands. Don't say, I'm going to church to pray, and the children, the wife, the husband have no attention at home. That's not a demonstration of faith. In this, please don't use Jesus as an excuse to serve your own purpose because you want to be popular in church and say you're serving Jesus. You're not serving Jesus. In the same token, let's make it clear. The Lord will test whether you adore him more than you adore your wife. On the day of judgment, they will not ask you, who did you marry? Jesus will ask whether you obeyed him. And whatever you turn to Jesus can never be lost. Faithfulness. As brothers and sisters, let's help one another. Let's pay attention to things that bring peace and unity and grace and comfort. This is the Jesus we serve. This is the true nature of Christianity. Open your heart to rebuke, to humility. Don't think about the surface things alone. Think about deep things. Let's be gracious. Let's be kind. Faithfulness. When they give you money, are you a man or a woman of integrity? It's very sad now when you hear Christians say, I can't trust a brother or a sister with money. And we attend the same church. Faithfulness, brothers and sisters. Faithfulness is, even though it hurts you, though he bruises me, what did Job say? Yet will I trust him. That is faith. Are you going to follow Jesus even though you are feeling bruised? That will be your test of faith. Even though it doesn't make sense. I close by saying the world is watching. But more than the world, the Lord is watching. The world is not impressed by your big Bible anymore. They're not impressed by your sober outage anymore. They want to know whether you mean what you say. I don't know who said, I love the Jesus, I think it was Mahatma Gandhi. I love the Jesus you preach. But you, please look at Jesus. From today, start configuring your Christian life, not after traditions, but after the life of Jesus, of David, of Abraham. Faithful husband, faithful man. Oh, David loved his kids, but he loved his God more. David was such a great father. He made some mistakes, but he was such a great father. Even the son that pushed him off the throne, when he died, although he just won a big victory, David was sad. My son, my son. Many would have said, away with that wicked boy. My kingdom has been restored. He went through a lot of troubles. His sons were raping the sister. Sons were killing one another. And yet, the praise of the Lord was continually upon his lips. He was such a man of valor, and yet he turned to the Lord as his shield and his salvation. How in America in our days can we be faithful? Brothers and sisters, faithfulness. Look to Jesus. Look to God. It's not how many things we say. It's not how well organized we are. Men look at outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. He knows what is in your heart. David says, search me, O Lord, and know my thoughts. Try me and know my ways. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me rather in the path everlasting. You be the peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. May the Lord help us as we copy Jesus. I pray that the doctrines of faith we pass and the character of faithfulness will be worked within each and every one of us. Look, the battle is within, brothers and sisters. It's not outside. It's within. Even when you are approved of men, does God approve of you? Because he knows what you are not saying that is hidden in your heart. Search your heart. If you cleanse the heart out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. If there's hatred in your heart, hatred will come out. If there's love in your heart, love will come out. If there's compassion in your heart, compassion will come out. And the Holy Spirit will give us compassion and grace. Faithfulness. 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 May we be counted worthy when the saints are counted before Jesus. May we be found to be true to the profession of our faith. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Give us the grace, O Lord, to be faithful. Help us to be satisfied with you. Deal with us in our inner man, O Lord. I pray, Lord, our intentions, our actions, all will be tried by you. Give us the grace that we'll be ready for that day when you try everything and bring every hidden thing to be open in the name of Jesus. Give us this grace, Lord. We just want to serve you, Jesus. So many people have missed it because we have not focused on you and your word. Give us the grace to focus. I pray that our faith will be evidenced by our faithfulness. Faithfulness in all our relationships, in all that you have entrusted into our hands. That even unbelievers will look at us and know that we have the Spirit of the living God in the inside of us. Lord, please let not this word be missing from our heart. Let it dwell upon every conscience that we may be ready. For the entrance of a word gives understanding to the simple. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We're good?